Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Monday, October 30th, week 8, almost in the books. And woo, what a day, especially in terms of injuries yesterday. So we're going to break it all down for you here on the podcast today. Of course, we'll have a healthy waiver. It's a byproduct of guys not being healthy, but it will be a robust waiver wire tomorrow on the show. I'll give you some thoughts about that as we roll through today. But let's start with a really surprising game for me. The Cowboys beat up on the Rams. I had said in several places last week, the 6.5-point spread seemed like it was way too high. Well, it wasn't high enough because they won by 23. And Dak Prescott went out, tossed 4 passing scores in this one. If you were worried about Prescott, I really don't see any need. This is like an every year thing with Prescott. He's not going to be the most consistent, but he does have some juice, especially when CeeDee Lamb's out there catching 12 balls for $158 and 2 scores. Third career game with 10 plus receptions, 100 plus receiving yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns. He also put up over 100 and 2 scores in the first half. That's happened now 3 times this season. Stephon Diggs did it. DJ Moore also did it. As far as this team is concerned, the one thing I know people may be panicky about is Tony Pollard. However, just remember to put everything into context. If the passing game explodes, guess what most likely isn't going to explode? The run game, right? So I don't really think this was like, oh, Tony Pollard sucks. No, I don't think it was that. I think they just blew up in the passing game. Brandon Cooks got in the end zone. Jake Ferguson got in the end zone. We'll talk about him tomorrow. By the way, Jalen Tolbert nipping at Michael Gallup's heels. Pretty interesting there. Not that there's any fantasy value outside of Dynasty. On the other side, Matthew Stafford is hurt. Thumb injury. If he misses time, they're screwed unless they make some sort of deal. I don't even know. I mean, Brett Rippon's not the answer. It was supposed to be Stetson Bennett, but he's on the non-football injury list. Who knows why? That they never told us the reasoning there. So that's a big concern. Now, I'm going to say this about a couple of these different situations, but it'll apply here. So, for example, Stafford hurt if he misses time. Does that mean we trade away Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua? No, of course not, because that's what everybody's going to want to do. In fact, it might be an opportunity to buy low in some of these instances. Like if somebody wanted to sell me Kupp on the cheap, I'll take him. And they may after the last 2 weeks. A weird game, so I'm not going to put too much stock into it. I will tell you this, though. Royce Freeman, Darrell Henderson. Darrell Henderson ended up with 15 touches, Royce Freeman with 9, but Freeman did look like the better player yet again. Henderson padded his numbers a little bit with 3 catches for 54 yards, but Freeman, 9 for 44, which is just under 5 yards per carry, had the rushing touchdown. I think the moral is this is a full-blown timeshare, and that's not going to go away, and we're just waiting until Kyron Williams comes back. Let's move on to the next game, Minnesota-Green Bay. Ooh, boy. Football is cruel. Kirk Cousins out for the season. Achilles injury. What now? And what now for Minnesota? What now for you if you have TJ Hockenson, if you have Jordan Addison, if you have Justin Jefferson? A lot of sons there. What do? I mean, first and foremost, the team... It's not, they're not equipped for this. They have Jaren Hall, who I think may end up being a good backup over the long term. Fifth rounder out of BYU. They also have Sean Mannion on their practice squad. And I guess if push came to shove, Sean Mannion could start some games for you, but neither one of those is a good situation. If they roll with those guys, should you trade Justin Jefferson away? No. What are you getting for him? Everybody wants to trade him away. In fact, I might buy him on the cheap. He's still really stinking good, and we have seen receivers with bad quarterbacks put up good numbers because they're good receivers. Garrett Wilson had a 100-yard day yesterday for the Jets, and Zach Wilson did not play particularly well. So I would buy low. Like, so same thing, TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison were holding. Now, there is a world where they trade for a quarterback, and some of the quarterbacks who could be available, like Jameis Winston, okay, what would he do? Ryan Tannehill, yay. Trey Lance, I heard his name bandied about. But here's one that I don't think it happens, but it would be pretty darn interesting. Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is not going to start in week 9. He is being called day-to-day. He practiced in full this week. He has to basically now come off injured reserve, and they're not going to use him. There's something weird here with Arizona. And Arizona is still very much in the mix for the number one overall pick. Just saying. No years left on Kirk Cousins' contract. Whole bunch of moving pieces there. Tomorrow's going to be awesome. I think what I'll do tomorrow, man, this is tricky. Here's what I think I'll do. And don't hold me to this, okay? I'm going to do a regular podcast like usual for waivers for the afternoon. But if any like really crazy stuff goes down, I'm going to have to probably do a second podcast. So you might get two in your feed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteeing. If it's bland, I'm not going to say I'm doing a podcast and then I come on and talk about how some linebacker was traded or something like that. But if it's if there's some big skill position movement, then it'll be short, but I'll come on and do something. All right. So there you go. Jordan Love, not good. not good. Fourth straight loss. Fifth straight game with at least one interception. Not good. That's hurting things here. He was their leading rusher, though. So there's that with 34 yards. Yikes. Aaron Jones, 7 for 29. A.J. Dillon, 6 for 11. Everything's bad here for the Packers. And, you know, honestly, if I have a piece of this, I'm just going to wait and see. I mean, Christian Watson, he did have 8 targets. Romeo Dobbs did have 9 targets. He at least scored a touchdown. I actually probably still have to talk about Dobbs tomorrow because he's still too widely available. Anyway, we're keeping an eye on what the Minnesota Vikings do. Atlanta, Tennessee. Okay. Well then, Will Levis. 4 touchdowns in this game. Now only 238 yards. And honestly, you know, as far as the play is concerned, because I know it's really easy. You can look at the fantasy numbers. You'd be like, wow. This is the sign of great things to come. I will warn against that, though, because we've seen 4 passing scores twice before in a quarterback's debut game. One of them was Fran Tarkington. Okay. The other one was Marcus Mariota. Not necessarily. Okay. So was Will Levis excellent in this game? No. I wouldn't say excellent. Was he good? Actually, yes. So one game can be a fluke. 2 games or more is a trend. For this one, I mean, if we look to yesterday or this week in general, because I guess we tossed Thursday in there as well, and we said who played better? Certainly Dak Prescott, certainly Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. I would say Lawrence did. Maybe Jalen Hurts. That might be maybe Tua. Maybe Tua as well. That might be it. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Honestly, he threw that big looper of a deep ball, kind of looked like Justin Herbert. Obviously brought some life back here to DeAndre Hopkins, who had 3 scores. He's only done that once before in his career. That's kind of wild, man. I would have thought more, but he only did it once in 2017. So we're going to have to talk about Will Levis tomorrow. He's going to start very likely. I don't think they've fully committed, but they're on Thursday. And, I mean, if you're Tennessee, this is... Again, we got to see what happens next week, but this is like exactly what you would want because Ryan Tannehill as well, he's expendable. The contract situation you're good with, I don't know. This could be interesting. Derrick Henry, 22 for 101, solid for him. Not a great fantasy day, but he did chip in 6.1, that is, in PPR. All right, let's move over to the other side. So was Desmond Ridder benched or was he concussed? We still don't quite know. Taylor Heinicke definitely looked better. He wasn't amazing, but he definitely looked better than Desmond Ridder. He did toss a touchdown pass. Of course, it went to Scotty Miller, but Drake London left this game with a groin issue. And Bijan Robinson did get in the end zone, but there was one point where they had a red zone play, and Bijan wasn't on the field, and they decided to let Jonnu Smith throw the football. And he threw it to Michael Pruitt with Kyle Pitts blocking. So if you want to know why people are fed up with Arthur Smith, that might be part of it. Anyway, let's move on. I'll talk more about Taylor Heinicke potentially tomorrow. That is a possibility. All right, New Orleans and Indianapolis up next. A little bit of a shootout here in this one, more than just a little bit. This was a shootout. It was a fun game. New Orleans pulled it out, and we saw Taysom Hill running all over the place. I mean, he feels like he just run at will. At Will Hill, 9 for 63 and 2 scores on the ground. Only had one catch, but if you started him at tight end, who cares about the one catch? Alvin Kamara got it done both as a receiver and a runner, 50-plus in both areas and a touchdown in both areas. And Rashid Shaheed, 3 for 153 and 1. I am not going to get too overboard here, and this will tell you exactly why. We have seen over the last 10 seasons only three players average over 50 yards per reception in a game where they had three catches. Those two other players, besides Shaheed, Gabe Davis, so that boom or bust profile, he did it last year, and then Sammy Watkins back in 2014. Boom or bust. On the other side, I have no idea why they went away from Jonathan Taylor, because in the beginning of the game, he looked fantastic. 12 for 95, so it doesn't end up being a good fantasy day at a catch for 2 yards as well. And of course, Zach Moss scored the touchdown. We do have more Taylor. There is more. In this game, he topped 60% of the offensive snaps. He went 41 snaps, 26 for Zach Moss. However, still a timeshare in that backfield. I'll talk more about Josh Downs tomorrow, but, you know, if you picked him up, he had a really solid day. He's still widely available, 7 for 72. Moving on to New England and Miami. This one was pretty straightforward. Miami doing what Miami does. The nice thing is Jalen Waddle also involved. So 13 targets, 8 catches for 112 and a score for Hill. 12 targets, 7 catches for 121 and a score for Waddle. First time we really saw them both blow up together this season, I believe. Of course, Tua, 324 and 3. Raheem Mostert got in the end zone as a runner, but they did use a good bit of Jeff Wilson and Savon Ahmed. In terms of participation in this game, Mostert, 40 snaps, which is solid. It was 54%, 19 for Ahmed and 18 for Jeff Wilson. So we're waiting for Achan. We're one more game out from him potentially returning here. On the other side, devastating injury. Kendrick Bourne, who is having such a great season, will now be out for the rest of the year. ACL, 3 for 36 and a touchdown for him as well. That just sucks. I suppose there's a chance we see more Juju Smith-Schuster. DeMario Douglas, I'm going to talk about him tomorrow. He is a slot receiver, though, so there is a big cap on what he can do. Maybe we see Kayshon Boutte, but who knows? Not worth picking him up or anything like that. DeMario Douglas will be the target, but there is a cap on what he can do, like I said. Moving on to the Jets-Giants. That was exciting at the end. It was a debacle early. This game had 24 combined punts. That was the most we've seen since 1998. There were more combined punts than there were combined points. 23 combined points. The Jets, though, pull it out. And as I mentioned earlier, Zach Wilson, I mean, 240 and one. It's not terrible. He ran for 25 yards. It's not terrible. He was not great. I mean, he had a 47% completion rate, a Tebow-esque completion rate. But it wasn't terrible. 7 for 100 for Garrett Wilson on 13 targets. Breece Hall ripping off a long touchdown. In fact, get this. He is the third player since 1991 with 5 plays of 50-plus yards through 15 career games. The other two you probably have heard of, Saquon Barkley and Adrian Peterson. That's some good company right there. Didn't do much on the ground, but when you have 6 for 76 and a touchdown as a receiver, who cares, honestly? On the other side, who cares, honestly? The Giants had 7 passing yards. Seven. Unbelievable. Tyrod Taylor, granted, the weather wasn't good, but still, 7? Zach Wilson had 240. So Tyrod Taylor, he might still be at the hospital as I'm recording this. A little bit of a scary issue for him. So they had Tommy DeVito come in, and he threw for -1 yards. Negative. Their leading receivers were Darren Waller with 4 yards and Matt Breida with 4 yards. Whew. Yeah, it was bad. Saquon at least ran well. He had a career high, including his college career, 36 rushing attempts. He goes for 128. He did add 3 catches for no yards, so whatever, 15 PPR, so almost 16 PPR points. But, yeah. Well, Daniel Jones should be back this upcoming week, so, oh boy. Anyway, On to, oh, and Darren Waller is out with a hamstring, so that's fun too. We'll talk about that as we get more info through the week. Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. Jacksonville won pretty easily here, 20-10. Didn't really have to do much, or maybe it would have been a bigger day for Trevor Lawrence. I thought Trevor Lawrence looked really good in this game. This is one of those where, like, yet again, the fantasy numbers aren't going to match the performance. 292-1 doesn't sound that great. I thought he looked really good. I mean, this team, if they're really starting to gel, they could do some damage this year. Speaking of doing damage, Evan Engram, 10 for 88. Thank you. Can I have another? ETN with a long touchdown. He went 24 for 79 on the ground, so it wasn't good there, but he had the receiving touchdown, so all is right with the world. And I did mention Calvin Ridley in a moderately good matchup here. He went 6 for 83, so there was that. On the other side, Kenny Pickett, another one of these injured quarterbacks. He's got a ribs issue. His status for this week is now being called up in the air, so we could see Mitchell Trubisky, who did finish out the game. He threw two picks because he's Mitchell Trubisky. For some reason, we didn't get a single catch for George Pickens until the very end of the third quarter, and he makes a freak of nature play. But 14 targets for Diontae Johnson, 8 catches, 85 yards, so kind of back on track there. A little bit more work for Najee Harris in a passing game this week. 5 for 42, but his streak of games without a 100-yard rushing performance continues here. He goes just 7 for 13 on the ground. A rough one there for the Steelers. We'll see if they're going to be without Pickett. Moving on to Philly and Washington, it's like this is what happens when these two teams face each other. Washington looks amazing. Philly eventually comes back and wins. Jalen Hurts, this is dueling banjos in this one. Jalen Hurts, 319 and 4. Sam Howell, 397 and 4. Sam Howell, and neither one of them ran much, but Sam Howell only sacked one time in this game. On the Jalen Hurts side, A.J. Brown, 130 and 2. 6 straight games with 125-plus. That's silly good. And the unfortunate thing with Philly, though, is it's like usually two of these guys, but not three of them, when you're talking about Brown, Smith, and Goddard. And it's been Brown for the last 6 weeks. It's been a lot of Goddard recently, but in this game, Smith goes 7 for 99 and a score. Goddard just 4 for 36. All right. We saw a tush push that resulted in a fumble. We saw a tush push that wasn't a tush push. It was a fake tush push, essentially, and DeAndre Swift scored a touchdown towards the end of the game there. 16 for 57 and a score for Swift. 2 for 7. He was bottled up in the run game for a bulk of the game, but that touchdown certainly helped big time. On the other side, Terry McLaurin, 5 for 63 and a score. Not amazing, but did lead the way with 12 targets. Logan Thomas, solid. I'll talk about him tomorrow. 6 for 44 and a score. Jahan Dotson coming back to life with Curtis Samuel banged up. 8 for 108 and a score. I'm not really going to look too much into the Jameson Crowder, 7 for 95 and a score. Like I said, Samuel was banged up. That was what contributed to it here, and they're not going to be in shootouts like this all the time. I'm also going to keep that in mind for Brian Robinson. In the right games, he's going to be a really good asset. This was not the right game. Houston, Carolina, we no longer have any teams without a win. Carolina getting their first win of the season, eking out a victory here. Really all eyes on the backfields for both. In Carolina, it does look like Chuba Hubbard has taken over. So Miles Sanders relegated here. I mean, they're coming off the bye. He should be, in theory, as healthy as he's going to be in week 8, and he barely played. Chuba Hubbard wasn't great, but in the right matchups, we know what he can do. He can be an RB2+. So we're going to talk about him tomorrow. He's still available in enough leagues. Now, I'm glad, though, on the other side, we didn't get too far out over our skis on that Devin Singletary thing. Remember, 1 week is not a great indicator. We need more than that, unless the coaches outright come and tell us. And this one is, I mean, they both touched the ball 12 times, both Pierce and Singletary. Pierce had a touchdown that was overturned. It was really close, and of course then the fullback got the touchdown. But either way, it's a full-blown timeshare in that backfield. Singletary played 23 snaps, Pierce played 24. Neither one of them over 50%, which means neither one of them is particularly desirable. And if you're rostering one, I mean, maybe you can play a little wait and see, but we really can't use either of them in the immediate short term with any confidence for fantasy purposes. Cleveland, Seattle pulling it out at the end. And another game-winning drive there for Geno Smith. So let's start on the Seattle side. We did manage to have, so for example, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, they played through the injuries. Well, DK was taken off the injury report. Kenneth Walker as well. Lockett was great, 8 for 81 and a score. Metcalf wasn't great, 5 for 67, but he did have 14 targets. Now, Smith and Jigba only had 4 targets, 3 for 36 and a score. There's not enough meat on the bone for all three of them. I mean, Lockett and Metcalf sucked up 23 of the 37 total targets, right? So keep that in mind for Smith and Jigba. Now, as far as Kenneth Walker, he was banged up through most of the week. Zach Charbonnet actually out-snapped him in this game. They ended up going Charbonnet 31, Walker 24. But Walker did have more carries. 8 for 66, I mean, he looked good against a really tough defense. I'm hoping that was just a blip. Because remember, there was a lot of question marks as to whether or not he was even going to play. On the other side, same thing. Jerome Ford managed to play. My advice, I said this yesterday on the pregame show on CBS Sports Network. I also said it in my Friday article over at FTNFantasy.com. If Ford played, I was going to fade all of them. Now, if you played Kareem Hunt, I mean, you did get the touchdown. You got 55 yards and a touchdown on 14 carries. You chipped in an additional catch for 12 yards, so I guess it wasn't a debacle. But if you played Ford, it was 9 for 37. 1 for 2. Pierre Strong, who I do think we have to talk about in waivers because he's still widely available, 10 for 41. Here's the challenge, though, and I don't know if this changes if Ford's ankle ends up being better. I would think it does, but I'm not quite sure. Kareem Hunt, 27 snaps. Pierre Strong, 24. Jerome Ford, 23. Uh-oh. Three-headed monster. We'll keep an eye on this through the week. Wouldn't panic if you have four. Well, I'm never going to panic at all over fantasy football, but just, you know, let's see what happens over the course of the week. We'll see if Deshaun Watson can get back out there as well. Kansas City, Denver, this was a crazy game. Denver basically steamrolled Kansas City. Russell Wilson, 3 passing scores in this one. He now has 16 on the season, which equals what he did last year. One going to Judy, one going to Sutton, cool, and one going to Javonte Williams, who had 30 touches in this game. Clearly now way ahead of Jaleel McLaughlin. I think we can now pretty much ink Williams back into RB2 territory. I don't think every week is obviously going to be like this. It was a weird game from a game script standpoint, but my confidence level in him is much higher now. On the other side, I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes. It was a down performance, sure. It was a flu game, sure. It was, his hand was all cut up. Better days will be ahead. Rashee Rice, 25 routes run. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 24. Rice ran the most routes. Rice is clearly now the number one receiver. Now, obviously, my number one pass catcher is Travis Kelce. But Rashee Rice, 4 for 56, had a nice run after catch play. If this is Kelce's floor, fine, it's 6 for 58. I know it's not amazing for him, but for most tight ends, that's pretty friggin' good. Had 9 targets. Pacheco, honestly, just didn't have enough meat on the bone. He averaged 5 yards a carry. You know, just wasn't enough meat on the bone. Unfortunately, this was the game. It was a weird game. All right, moving on to Baltimore and Arizona. I just mentioned earlier that we already know Josh Dobbs is going to start this upcoming week. That, to me, feels like they are going to trade him, but who knows? Who knows if there's even a taker? Anyway, I'm talking about Kyler Murray. Amari DiMercato, 20 carries, only 78 rushing yards, but he is still the lead. One more game, at least, with James Conner sideline. Trey McBride, 10 for 95 and a score on 14 targets. Yeah, we'll talk about him tomorrow. I mean, this is not that you don't see 14 targets. That's not a like fluky thing. That's by design, and that's very good for Trey McBride. On the other side, Gus Bus, 3 touchdowns. This was a perfect setup for him, this matchup against the Arizona defense. Obviously, we know that his ceiling is somewhat capped, but hey, if you used him, good for you. That was awesome. Of course, Mark Andrews getting in the end zone as well. Lamar didn't have a big day. I mean, it was still pretty efficient, but he's not doing as much as a runner. I still really like him going forward, though. I'm not going to be too concerned about him either. Cincinnati, San Francisco, surprise, surprise. Cincinnati going on the road. They beat San Francisco down in this game. Joe Burrow is back, 283-3, but more importantly, he was running, and he looked so good. 6 for 43, so adds an additional 4.3 points with his legs. He had an 87.5% completion rate. That was the highest in Bengals history with at least 30 passing attempts. There was one point where he had 19 straight completions. He targeted Ja'Marr Chase 12 times. Ja'Marr Chase going for 100 yards on 10 catches and, of course, a touchdown. And honestly, like T. Higgins, I was encouraged by. He had 5 for 69 on 6 targets. It wasn't amazing, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. Of course, Joe Mixon getting in the end zone as a runner. This was the best Mixon has looked all season, too. Like, the whole team's gelling, and that was not against a bad defense. That was against a very good defense. So that was a fun game on that side. On the other side, I mean, it's always fun with Christian McCaffrey. 12 for 54 and a touchdown. Okay. 6 for 64 and a touchdown as a receiver. All right. Fine. George Kittle, 9 for 149. Okay, Brandon Ayuk, 5 for 109. Maybe not as good as George Kittle, but still not too shabby. I mean, Brock Purdy managed to get through the concussion protocol, threw for 365 yards, had two picks. I mean, it wasn't as good of a football performance as it was a fantasy performance because he also added 57 yards with his legs. We hadn't seen that out of him yet, really, and he did it big time here. So, I don't know. I don't think that there's really anything to it. You know, he's not playing perfect football, but I don't think he's going anywhere. For me, you know, he's one of these, like, sort of high-flourish, kind of boring quarterback twos. But, you know, in a super flex, that's a good thing. Boring is not a bad thing in super flex. If you have a high floor, that's what we're looking for. All right, finally, Chicago and the Chargers. The Chargers rolling in this one. And Justin Herbert rolling in this one. Sorry if you have a 300-yard bonus because he went for 298, but he did throw for three scores. One of them to Austin Eckler, who went 7 for 94 as a receiver. Doesn't even matter what he does as a runner. He only had 15 carries for 29 yards, but still a great game for him. Another touchdown to Donald Parham, who capitalized on Gerald Everett being out. And then, of course, Simi Fehoko. Because why not? Why not? Josh Palmer was banged up, so we saw a little bit more Quentin Johnston in this one, and it was encouraging. 5 for 50 for him. Keenan Allen catching eight balls for a very nice 69 yards. All is right with the Chargers offense after this. All is not right with the Bears offense. Tyson Bagent looking very much like a backup quarterback. A lot of dink and dunk. Ended up hitting Cole Kmet 10 times for 79 yards. Yeah, DJ Moore wasn't great, 4 for 55. He can be boom or bust, but we're just waiting for Justin Fields to get back. I mean, that's what this is all about. When he's back, then we get that upside back. Roshan Johnson played, and not only played, but he actually led the backfield in snaps, 23 of them. Deontay Foreman, 19. Darrington Evans, 17. So, yes, three-headed monster. Foreman led in carries with 9. Roshan had 6. But Darrington Evans scored the touchdown because three-headed monster. For now, Roshan and Foreman are holds. We'll see what happens. We're one more game removed from a possible Khalil Herbert return. One other note before I get out of here. It does look like Leonard Fournette is going to sign with the Buffalo Bills. What does that mean for us? Probably not that much because he's going to join what likely will be a three-headed monster. James Cook will still have that between the 20s role. You'll still have Latavius Murray there, but now, I mean, to me, if anything, this means we're just not going to see Damian Harris for a while. So Fournette kind of slides into that vacated role there. And I'm going to have to talk about him for waivers, but I don't think this is one of those where this is, you know, they're bringing him in to be the clear feature back. That's not what Fournette is at this time of his career. However, he has some touchdown upside, that sort of thing. But again, I'll do some more digging, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com. Of course, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter and at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. I'll catch you tomorrow for the Waiver Wire edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.